We have some very familiar passages today, all the way from Isaiah. People who were hanging around in darkness suddenly had a great light, which for many of us, various oratorios leap to mind when we hear that Messiah, among others, I'm sure. And then we have in Corinthians, we have Paul making an appeal to the church at Corinth to not be divided. He talks about who got baptized by whom and what difference it made, and that we don't have a divided Jesus to follow, that we're all following the same thing. And then in Matthew, we have the extraordinary story of the call of the first disciples, which comes on the heels of Jesus moving from one place to another, that prophecy might be fulfilled. And we've talked last little while, we've talked about prophecy and what it can mean and what it can't mean, and how it's clear sometimes and not so clear some other times. And as I was reading this, the two things that came to mind, the first one was just the word light. And I like the word light. I think many of us do. I like natural light. I find that as the days get longer, I feel better overall, and I don't think it's just vitamin D that is being created as I'm out in the sun, even in the winter a little bit more. There's something about that. Seasonal affective disorder gets all kinds of people in different ways. For some, this winter is just a terrible time. Depression sinks in and all that, and that's just lack of light. We need light. We don't function well as mushrooms, no matter what we might think. And as someone who spent a long time with a working space in our semi-finished basement, I must say I'm very happy to have moved onto the main floor, where I get light all the time, whenever there's daylight there. And light's a powerful metaphor, as well as a powerful actual thing. And as I was thinking about the second thing, because how could I not, where Jesus finds these people, these men who are fishing for fish, and says, if you follow me, you will fish for people. And what made me, I think, thinking of light, first of all, led me into this thought, what did they think about that? I will make you fish for people. What does that even mean? And I suspect they might have had that question, and I'm sure Jesus clarified it for them at some fairly immediate point. But when you first think of that, what do you think of? Well, now we've been conditioned by spending a long time in the church to know that fishing for people means introducing them to Jesus, the Jesus that we know and love, the Jesus that we follow, to move into this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But think back, if you can remember, to when you were little and the first time you heard that, or the first few times you heard that, and you thought, fishing for people, throwing out a line with a hook on the end? Baited with, I don't know what, when I was little, maybe a chocolate bar, that might have got my attention if I was somebody's fishing for me. But what is this fishing for? It's not just to grab them, it's not just to send out a net. As I got a little bit older and understood that back then the fishing that was being talked about was net fishing, it wasn't a line. There's sending out nets. We're not talking about netting human beings. And if we're capturing them somehow, what are we capturing them for? And that brought me back to the first thing, to light. Light is a powerful metaphor for all kinds of things, and one of the things that we see over and over again is that the light drives out the darkness. And one of the things that's interesting for me when I think about this, there's all kinds of ways we can approach this, but when we think of darkness, I think of darkness not so much as a thing, but as an absence of something else. You can't have darkness if you have light. You can't have both of them together. If you take the light away, then what you're left with is darkness. Light fills up everything that's there when it's there, but until it arrives, all you have is darkness. Now, darkness is obviously another powerful metaphor. We have the darkness of the human soul. We have the darkness of ignorance. We have the darkness of some of our behaviors. We have that sense that in the dark we're lost. It's hard to get around. One of the benefits of having bad eyes is that when it's dark in the house, I don't bother turning on lights because I just know where everything is, which most of the time is fine. If the grandkids have been around for a while, I might be a little more cautious as I walk, as sometimes things end up not exactly where I remember them. Jerome K. Jerome talks about how in the daylight, all of your furniture gets out of your way because you're probably wearing, as he puts it, a stout pair of boots. But in the darkness, when you're walking around in your socks or in soft slippers, it seems like they move intentionally into your way to put their corners right in front of your feet. Can't imagine that's actually true, but it is a pretty fun image. Think about your furniture trying to catch you somehow. Well, the only way to get around that is with light. The only way to get around the darkness of the human soul is light. The only way we can move forward in any kind of, what's the word I'm looking, security, safety, is by being able to see what's ahead of us. All of these things take light. And so as we look into what it is that we want to be lit up, we can take all of those various metaphors of darkness and we can do something about them. We think of the darkness of the human soul, of our own, not other people's, because we're not responsible for other people's souls, dark or otherwise. But there are all kinds of things that I did before I had a meaningful understanding of what it meant to follow Jesus, or for that matter, to have any kind of a faith. I had lots of behaviors that I just did and never really thought about. But it was when the light of Christ began to come into my life, and it illuminated a lot of things that I knew about, but it also illuminated some that I didn't. And there were things that I had done that I'd never really thought of that I then realized, wait a second, that's incongruent. That's something I shouldn't be doing on the basis of this new understanding of being loved by Jesus. And the light of Jesus illuminated things, some of which were kind of painful to see when I realized that they weren't right. But I hadn't even known them before. I hadn't been able to see them because they were hidden in my own darkness. When you think of trying to help somebody else, if I'm going to, this is a bit of a stretch of the metaphor, but if I'm going to sort of move somebody around in my house, I'm going to turn the lights on because I might be comfortable moving it around in the darkness, but other people aren't. If we want to lead anybody somewhere, we need to give them some light also. It takes an enormous amount of trust to follow somebody when you can't see. And sometimes that's necessary, but most of the time it isn't. Most of the time we can just turn on a light. Once again, to push the metaphor as far as it can possibly go. And that light that we can provide will illumine things for other people. One of the things that we get when we move into this relationship with God is a better sense of what it is that we are called to do, where we are to go. We get light into the future for us, light on the path that we're supposed to follow. Sometimes there's lots of light. Sometimes there's just enough to take our next step. But either way, it's that light that comes in. And these are all of the things, and more besides, that Jesus was calling these people to do. Jesus was saying, I want you to come and I want you to be a fisher for people, and I want you to bring them from the darkness they're in into the light. We don't very often think of fishing being a positive experience for the other end of the pole or the other end of the net. But what Jesus is calling these first disciples to is to be those people who bring others into the light, out of the darkness, out of the ignorance, out of the fear, out of all of those things that darkness symbolizes and often actually creates within us. Jesus said, you are going to be the people who help bring others from the darkness they're in into the light. And for those who already have one foot into the light, fully into the light. One of the things that we sometimes hear is that sunlight can be used almost as they used to use it as an antiseptic. I don't know how well it worked. I think mostly the fact when you put people out in the light is they got fresh air for the first time in a while. But there's a sense that being in the light lifts our spirit. It helps us become the best of us that we can be. And that's what Jesus called those first disciples to be. People who caught people and brought them into the light. And that's the same call we have. We're not called to hook people by deception. We're not called to drag them in by some kind of force or anything else. We're called to introduce people to what it means to follow a God who loves us enough to send his Son to identify with us in a way that is inescapably human. Those first disciples were called in a special way, perhaps. But the call to be light to the world around us is every bit as important, every bit as real, and every bit as immediate to us. So maybe we're not called to fish for people, whatever that might mean for us. But what we are called to be is to be the light of Jesus to everyone around us, whether they know Jesus already or not, to bring that light into dark places for ourselves and for those around us. Amen.